you've got your Bibles, well, glory. I had a special prayer for myself just a moment ago. I said this to the Lord. Don't let me mess this up. Go ahead.
When they sang that song, he came to me. But I remember the day he came to me. I was lost. I was dying. I was on my way to a sinner's hell. But praise God, he came to me. He has my cry for mercy.
Yes.
And he's been
amen.
Good ever since.
Amen.
And it's getting better every day. And I'm looking for today. He says, come out of here.
Stay on,
come
man.
Out of here.
Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
My doctor told me to take it easy. I'm sorry, sir. You just ought to pray for mercy for me. Go ahead, my brother.
I've been on this road for about 45 years.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for so many things.
Amen.
Since those days 2 or 3 years ago, I'm sitting here and thank my grandma.
Amen.
I get to sit here.
Amen.
Thank God.
She's a blessing to me. My daughter told me the other day, thank you, Dad, for taking her to the basketball game. No thanks due to me.
Yeah.
I come off a death bed and I'm alive and well. No matter what, God's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
2 Kings 6. Let's go over there real quickly. I want to share this passage of Scripture. I'm glad to be able to preach. I got to preach Wednesday night. Went to the doctor on Thursday. And Dr. Kinder, you know, he's very conservative about things. And he said, now, I don't want you preaching right now. And I looked at him. I said, a little late for that. And it is good to be behind the pulpit today. Great sermons last Sunday morning, Chad. That was tremendous on the coming of the Lord and Brother Dave Sunday night. And I thank God for it. But I got something for you this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6. If you're there, say amen. I was going to have you stand. Just stay seated. I want to read about 9 verses of Scripture. I got a thought on my mind. I will not give you the text until I get to the last point, okay? I'll give you a couple thoughts, and then I'll give you the text in just a moment. The Bible said, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to that place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved him there, not once, nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this saying. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Some of y'all know something. God knows what even you're doing in your house. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I might send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and could pass the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and going forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, maybe you're saying this today, alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Can I say that? They that be with us is more than be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. Father, I ask you to touch this message. I know what you laid on my heart. I want to be able to preach like I've never preached before. These next 20 or so minutes, God, just let me, Lord, just give me the thoughts that I might communicate this great truth to this people. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Hey, if you got time to go read 2 Kings chapter 6. It's full of miracles, full of blessings. If you start the chapter out, if you just go in the first part of the chapter, we see the axe head swim. By the way, when he talks about the axe head in the first 7 verses, he's talking about the power of God. I want all y'all to know that I've got a God that's all powerful. Hey, he's on the throne. He's not slumbering. He's not sleeping. But in verses 8 through 17, he turns the page and he's not talking about the power of God, Jeremy. He's talking about the presence of God. I'm going to give you 3 thoughts. I'll go right into the story. I'll tell the story to you. And I'm going to give you 2 thoughts, an illustration, 1 last thought, and an application. We'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice in verses 8 through 12, the warring of the enemy. I want everybody in this room to know, whether you're lost or saved, the devil is after you. Here's what the devil wants to do to you, lost man. He wants to damn your soul in hell and destroy you, and that you go to a place and burn forever and ever and ever. But I want you to know, it doesn't have to be that way. But child of God, there's more children of God here than there are lost people here this morning. I want to tell you what he wants to do to you. He wants to take your joy. He wants to take your power. He wants to take your influence. He wants to destroy your home, your heart, your life. He wants to make you miserable. He wants you to think that there's no hope for you. But I want to tell you, I've got a God, though the devil's warring against me, I got a God's on my side. So I'll give you 3 little truths about this. Verse number 8, I see the counsel for the warning. What he done, Chad, you can see it there. He counseled with these captains. He said, here's what I want you to do. Go to such and such place. The king of Israel be there. And you trap him and you destroy him. I don't know if you know this or not. The devil has a strategy for you. The devil has a strategy for you. He's taking counsel against you. He's trying to figure a way to destroy your home, your life. He's trying to get you addicted to drugs, addicted to pornographic stuff. He's trying to mess your life up. He's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Boy, now listen what happened. Here's what happened. You go here. The king of Israel's going to be here. But when they went there, the king of Israel was warned. Number 2, I see the counterintelligence. You know, we're talking about intelligence. I want all y'all to know something. I got a God looking after you. You know what the man of God does? He called the king of Israel and said, don't go there. That's a trap. Some of y'all look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You say, well, God can't do that. My God can do anything. And what happened? Not only was he delivered once, he was delivered twice. And if you read it carefully, Chad, I think he was delivered more than twice. Because he said, not once, nor twice. So it must have been a whole bunch of times. How many times has the devil circled your life and tried to take you out and tried to ruin you? And not once, not twice, but often. But aren't you glad that there's somebody on the inside? There's some counterintelligence that's watching out after you. Number three, under the first point, I see the counsel for the warring, the counterintelligence for the warring, and the consternation in the warring. The king got mad. He got troubled. He said, I want to know who is in my camp. I want to know who it is so I can take him out. I've got to have a spy. Won't be service that day. He said, uh-huh. I'll tell you what's happened. The man of God. Elisha is your problem. For some reason, preachers kind of like that. We either your problem or your friend. Somebody help me preach. Then, number two, quickly. Number two, quickly. Whew. I not only see the warring of the enemy, but in verses 13 through 16, I see the watching for Elisha. All right? If Elisha's the problem, right? Yep. I'm going to take Elisha out. Yep. You know what I do? I pray for every man of God that's still right, that mounts pulpits. I pray for them because there's a target on their back. There's a target on this preacher. There's a target on you young preachers. And I want you to know there was a target on Elisha. Now I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 13, the folly in the watching. He said, go and spy where he is. Well, now, wait a minute. If he knew where you were going to go to assassinate and destroy Israel's army, why don't you think he knows you're coming and spying on him? Exactly. I want all y'all to know something. Quit trying to figure God out. Quit trying to analyze God. Quit trying to just trust him this morning. What a folly it was for him to wonder where Elisha was, and if he didn't know about it. I want to tell you, God's still on the throne. He knows your thoughts. He knows where you're at. Well, let me go on this story. I'm going to get so happy in a minute, Doc, I promise. Not only in the folly of the watching, verse 14, the force of the watching. The servant told him he's down in Dothan. So here's what the king done. He went down, surrounded the whole city. Surrounded them all. Let me ask you, honey. You ever felt surrounded? Have you ever felt surrounded with pressure? With problems? Have you ever felt perplexed? Knowing, what am I going to do? The enemy has got me encamped. I'm in trouble. Ain't no way. Ain't no way out of this. Then I see the fear from the watching. His servant woke up, looked out and saw the enemy. And here's what he said. In essence, what shall we do? Ladies and gentlemen, there's people in this room this morning. You've been rich in your hands. You've been up at night. You've been worrying. You've been saying, what shall we do? Those lost people here today wondering, where can I find hope? Where can I find help? My drugs won't satisfy me. My lifestyle doesn't satisfy me. Nothing satisfies me. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You need to depend on God. Story time. Illustration. Then I'll give you my message from the illustration. Is that all right? I'm about ready to take off and run. In France, and you know France and Paris is well known for paintings. All of y'all know that. There is a painting either in Paris or surrounding area in France called the Devil's Checkmate. It's got the devil playing chess against God and has the king backed up against the wall and ready. You know what checkmate is, don't you? Say, some of you, your life feels like you're in checkmate right now. And that picture's there for everybody to see it. And chess masters from all over the world come and see that portrait and looks at it. It's amazing. One day a young chess master came through, looked up at it, walked away, then came back and looked again. Walked away, came back and looked again. He said, alas, the king has one more move. You'll get that in a moment. When my back's against the wall, when I don't have any hope, I'm glad I got a God that's ready to make one more move. Somebody praise Him. I'll give you the third point. Illustrate and we'll go home. Woo! The wonder of the enlistments. Here's what happened. The servant was scared half to death.
Amen.
You know what Elijah done? Said, Lord, open this boy's eyes. Open his eyes. Because Elijah done told him there's more for us than against us. Have you ever felt like everybody was against you? I want all y'all to know there's more for you. That's against you. And he prayed that his eyes was open. And his eyes were open. And you know what he saw? I'm trying not to raise this arm. I'm getting so excited. He saw the mountains full of angelic beings with flaming fire. Can I tell you what the miracle was? And there's three of them here if you study the rest of the chapter. And all three miracles are about sight. What you're doing, child of God, unsaved person, you're looking out. And it's scary. But I want to beckon to you, look up, for it's glorious. Because the king has one more move. That's illustrated throughout the Bible. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they run into the Red Sea. Pharaoh was there. The Red Sea was there. They said, we're done. But God had one more move. And he raised up the Red Sea. When David was fighting the 9 foot six giant. And he went down to the war. And he said, what are you doing letting him mock you?
Amen.
Why are you letting him mock you? And Saul was going to give him his armor. And David said, I ain't been tested for that. I got a slingshot. Somebody help me preach. And he said to that Philistine, you came with a spear and a sword. But I believe God's got one more move. I come in the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord is a high tower. I'm done. You know what the miracle is you need this morning? Come on. You need sight. You say, well, I can see. Can you really? Why have you given up? Why have you thrown in the towel? If you can see. I want you to know there's more for us than there's against us. I'm trying my best to wrap this up. See, the king has the last move. Let me give you some things that fuel your faith. About six of them and I'm done. First of all, the scripture still speaks. How many believe this Bible still speaks? Have you had it speaking to you this week? I want you to know, unsaved people, the Savior still saves. You might think you've done sin too much and you're too wicked to be saved, but oh, when you look at me, I got a God to save you anytime, anywhere, because he don't care how bad you are, because he'll impute his righteousness to you. The Savior still saves. And despite our enemies, the saints still have a song. Redeemed. Oh, how I love to declare it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I want you to know, Chad, since all this is true, the seed still needs to be sown. And I want all y'all to know that the Spirit is still reproving sin. And I'll close with this. Doc told me not to jump around. But the second coming is still on schedule. Oh, I know what they're saying to us. We're a bunch of people that have no hope, that we're crazies. Anybody come to church, spend 2 or 3 hours in church on Sunday, got to be crazy, ain't got no sense. I want you to know something. They just don't realize my king is going to have the last move. He's going to enter out of heaven. He's going to come and change our vile body in the likeness of his glorious body. And somebody help me preach. I want you to know, here's your problem. Here's your problem. I'm done. What was the miracle? What was it? To open his eyes. I wonder how many Christians right now, your eyes are closed. You're thinking there's no hope. You've given up. The king still has one move. And you're here lost. And you're saying, Preacher Smith, ain't nothing can help me. I want you to look at me as a God that loves you, that's still saving. You want to know why you haven't been saved yet? Want me to tell you why? You're blinded by the God of this world. Unless the glorious gospel of Christ shine into you. And I want to pray right now that you are that without Christ will be given sight this morning, that you'll see a lovely Savior that died, see your sin, and want you to come to Calvary. And I wonder how many Christians are in this room would say, I've given up on some prayers. I've given up on some situations. And come to this altar and say, God, it's yours. God, I'm yours. God, take control. Let me see. Jeff, the king, has one more move. Bow your head with me. I'm finished. No one looking around. How many folks here, if you died today, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven because you trusted Christ? Raise your hand. Hold them high. Testify for me. People are already, church people are already coming and praying. How many right now couldn't raise your hand? And you're not sure you'll go to heaven. But if God forgives and He saves, you want in on it. How many right now couldn't raise your hand, but you want to know you're going to heaven before you die, before the Lord comes, and you'd like to say, pray for me? How many slip up your hands and say, by that, pray for me. I need God to save me. I see that hand, sir. I see it. I said, thank you. You may put it down. Somebody else. Somebody else. Come on now. Somebody else. Yes, I see that hand. You that raised your hand, will you look up at me? Look at me if you raise your hand. Come on. I see you. You believe God will save you. Do you want Him to save you? You raise your hand. Do you want Him to save you? Yes? I want you to sit by your seat just a moment and come and be saved. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I've got things bigger than I am right now. And I've overlooked God. Raise your hand and say, pray for me. Come on. Come on, raise them up all over the house. Say, oh, things are out of control. Stand with me. God spoke to you. I want you to come. If you're here, raise your hand and say, you're lost. You sit right out of your seat. Come right up here. Let us take the word of God. Show you how to be saved. Don't you wait. Don't you wait and die and go to hell. Father, save that one near as hell. Touch folks as they come. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Come on. You that raise your hand, come on.
There's mercy with the Lord.
Yeah, man. Coming. Christian, you ought to come.
Trust Him.
You're here without Christ. You raise your hand. You need to be saved. Come on right now. Don't let anything hinder you.
Trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you.
I'm going to dismiss, but Paul, I don't know where Paul's at. Paul, I want to pray for that lady you told me to pray for. There's a lady Paul had me to pray for. Is it the lady that used to come here? The other lady that's into demon worship, devil worship, right? I want to pray for that woman. There's a woman Paul witnessed to into devil worship, and he won prayer for her. By the way, I got a God that if the Son sets you free indeed. And if you're here lost and then come and be saved. Won't you come up here to the podium and talk to me a moment? Let me talk to you about the Lord. But I want to pray for that need and dismiss our Father. I want to pray for that woman who's so wicked, hooked in with the devil. But Lord, I'm glad you can set her free. I want to pray for her. I pray when Paul sees her again, he'll be able to witness, give him power in his witness, and touch her. For the dear lady that raised her hand today, lost, and the young person that raised her hand, lost, I pray for them today. I pray that they'll come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and get it settled. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. God bless you.